KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Up next, it's a new public-private partnership to get the vaccine out faster. I'm Brian Calvert with details of the governor's new plan.
Also,
a deadly night in Tacoma. I'm Frank Lindsay with the latest on two shootings here.
Time now for ABC News.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A send-off in Delaware this hour for Native son, President-elect Joe Biden, along with Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Biden moved to the state as a boy and became emotional today, talking about leaving his home state.
To my fellow Delawareans, on behalf of the entire Biden family that's here today, I want to express how much you mean to me and to every one of us.
He and Harris heading to Washington, D.C. on the eve of the inauguration. The ceremony scaled back due to coronavirus concerns and security threats in the wake of the U.S. Capitol siege. The FBI now doing background checks on the nearly 25,000 National Guard members working inauguration security to make sure there's no threat from the inside. At least two members have been pulled from their mission. ABC's Alex Stone is in Washington.
A defense official confirming to ABC News that the vetting underway on National Guard troops here has found two Army National Guard members who allegedly have ties to far-right groups. They've now been removed from the inauguration security mission. They're being investigated. The background checks are ongoing.
President Trump has no public events on his schedule. On the last full day he's in office, he could issue pardons in the final hours. ABC News has learned it's not likely he will give himself or members of his family pardons. ABC producer John Santucci has covered the president during his term and says the future for Trump's is not clear.
Plans that some members of the family had are quite derailed in some ways. Ivanka Trump being a great example. You know, she has been one of the closest people to her father. I'm told she wants to stay in politics. Some people have talked to her eventually about some sort of run for higher office, but it's quite hard right now. And after the riots, after what we saw up on Capitol Hill, everything right now for the Trump family is on ice.
An active duty U.S. soldier now in federal custody. Authorities say he plotted with someone he thought was affiliated with ISIS to attack a New York City landmark and also fellow troops overseas. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Clouds and 39 in downtown Seattle as we bring you our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center at 11:02. I'm Tom Huntler. Thanks for being with us this morning. Well, Governor Inslee has announced effective immediately, any Washington resident age 65 and older can now get the vaccine for COVID-19, provided you can find it. KOMO's Brian Calvert with more details as to how the state will accomplish this.
In his address yesterday, Inslee unveiled plans to open massive vaccination sites across the state, utilizing a series of privately owned facilities, including a Redmond campus that's virtually a ghost town these days.
We don't have employees in all of our buildings these days, so we're going to be working with local hospitals so that they can administer their vaccines in a building on our campus.
Microsoft's Brad Smith is on board. So is Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson.
Now, we're here to support the governor, Dr. Shaw, and all of their staffs who are working tirelessly to serve the people of the state of Washington.
A vaccine in every coffee shop? Maybe not, but plans aren't final just yet. By lowering the vaccination age to 65, more than 1.5 million Washingtonians are now eligible, meaning the state must now create capacity to avoid long lines like we saw last week at a vaccination site in Squim. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
Should Washington businesses be allowed to skip phase one of the governor's reopening plan and move straight to phase two? There's a bill headed for the state's legislature that would accomplish that. Here's KOMO's Corwin Hake.
State senators, including Issaquah Democrat Mark Mullett, want to push the fast forward button to save struggling businesses.
I think it's time the legislature have an up or down vote on that issue.
Mullett is co-sponsor of a bill that would allow restaurants, gyms, and movie theaters, among other businesses statewide, to move to phase two now, meaning they could reopen with a 25% of capacity limit.
If people choose to vote it down, then that's fine. I know I would support putting it back in place with as many safeguards to make it safe as possible.
It would be our state's first ever vote on COVID-19 restrictions. But health officials are wary of any move that could increase transmission. Public comment is expected to be impassioned when an open hearing on the bill convenes Wednesday morning at 8. Corwin Hake, KOMO News.
The Space Needle and hundreds of other landmarks will join a nationwide memorial tonight honoring those who've died during the COVID-19 pandemic. The buildings will be lit in an amber color representing candles for the 400,000 Americans who've died. The memorial is part of the upcoming inauguration for the Biden administration. Straight ahead.
An exciting day for kindergarten students in Tacoma. First day back at school, though the teachers union says the district's rushing it. I'm Carlene Johnson.
News 5 1104. We update traffic every 10 minutes on the fours for you from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Now into the 11 o'clock hour, here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, we've had some emergency road work that's taking place in Lakewood on northbound I-5, a little bit south of State Route 512, and it continues to cause about a mile and a half slowdown into the area, though it's being reported that it's cleared, but clearly it's not clearing out this backup. And northbound I-5, going to find a little bit of hesitation right now in Seattle as you're approaching the convention center, and northbound 99. You're also starting to crowd a little bit more around that First Avenue South Bridge, but for the most part, the rest of our drives are looking really good. Our next Como traffic at 11:14.
Here's the latest forecast. Meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Dense fog, the big weather story this morning. Visibility has been less than a quarter of a mile at SeaTac since midnight. And the fog's going to be very slow to clear, but should eventually around lunch today, revealing a partly sunny, dry afternoon. Now for the Northwest Interior, tracking a light shower tonight. That clears up with a dry forecast on Wednesday, but not nearly as sunny tomorrow. Clouds roll in, followed by additional showers on Thursday. So behind that storm, the conditions turn cold there this weekend, cold enough to support a rain-snow mix across the lowlands Sunday through Monday of next week. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Currently 39 under cloudy skies downtown, 11:06, and 20 minutes of nonstop news continues now. Two shootings overnight at Tacoma left one person dead, three more wounded. Como's Frank Lindsay reports from Tacoma.
The first one happened around 7:30 last night. A 20-year-old man walked into a gas station at 15th and Sprague and said he and his 22-year-old friend had been shot.
Officers arrived and located a vehicle in the 1800 block of South 15th Street, which is approximately a block away from here, and found a second victim unresponsive. They immediately started life-saving measures on the victim in the vehicle. Tacoma fire medics arrived, and he was unfortunately pronounced deceased on scene.
Wendy Hatto with Tacoma Police says the other man was rushed to the hospital and may not survive. The second shooting happened around 2 this morning near 31st and East R Street, not far from the Emerald Queen Casino. In that case, a man and a woman in their 30s sitting in a parked car were shot. Both were taken to the hospital with serious injuries. In Tacoma, Frank Lindsay, Como News.
And police have no suspects in either case. Right now, nothing to indicate these shootings were linked together in any way. Today marks the first day back to in-person learning for kindergarten students in the Tacoma School District, but the teachers' union isn't happy about it. Como's Connie Johnson tells us why.
Angela Vanderlinde is a kindergarten teacher at Tacoma's Mary Lyon Elementary, getting ready for weeks to see her students in the classroom.
That next step in getting to some sort of normalcy of what life should be like right now for them.
She's placed numbered stickers on the floor separated by 6 feet, and only 15 kids or less will be in the classroom. Kindergarten students return 2 days a week, 2 days at home for learning, and Wednesdays are an independent day while classrooms are deep cleaned. Tacoma News Tribune reports preschool students come back next week, and first and second graders in Tacoma return February 8th. But the Tacoma Teachers Union thinks the district is rushing it and should wait until all staff have had the COVID vaccine. Teachers over the age of 50 are set to get that shot next month. District leaders, however, pushing to get all teachers vaccinated sooner. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
How Seattle police handle protesters is a major concern for some elected officials, but it's also a concern for the one person who may have the ultimate say in the future of policing in Seattle.
We've been talking a lot about Seattle SPD defunding throughout the summer, and so you may think that the city council, which has the purse strings to the department, may be controlling its future. Then again, you may think it's the mayor who has to pick a permanent police chief. Well, here's a case while neither may be correct. Now, for example, the Office of Police Accountability just released its findings on several cases on what it describes as police actions that go against police policy and laws on crowd control methods set by the city council. Federal Judge James Robart has been overseeing a consent decree that's been in place for 9 years. If he thinks policy changes are not constitutional or violate the consent decree that he's in charge of enforcing, he can order changes.
It's Como's Matt Markovich. Clackamas County, Oregon Commissioner Mark Scholl apologizing yesterday for past xenophobic and Islamophobic comments that found their way into a public Facebook page.
My hopes today are these, that my apology will be considered and accepted, that we don't let this conversation end, that we carry it forward and use this as a learning experience.
Scholl says his comments were part of uncensored discussions with some members of the military, and his mindset was on national security. K2TV reports he met with at least five religious leaders who said they want to bridge religious and racial divides. Como News Time, 11:09 now, and some good news for Boeing about the 737 MAX.
The head of the European Aviation Safety Agency says that the MAX will get the green light to fly again in Europe next week.
The decision comes after nearly 2 years of reviews after the aircraft was involved in two deadly crashes that grounded the planes worldwide. To fly, the planes will need to meet specific conditions, and the pilots must be up to date on training. Last month, the MAX returned to the skies here in the U.S. It's also been allowed to fly in Brazil, and Canada said it will start flying again tomorrow there.
Como's Holly Menino, Como News Time 1110, and to the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk with Eric Heintz.
The NFL Conference title games are this Sunday. In the NFC, Green Bay will host Tampa Bay. It won't be the first time this year Packers head coach Matt LaFleur has faced the T-Bucks.
You know, we know when you get to this stage that whoever you're going to play is going to be a great challenge. And certainly, you know, having played them and know what they're all about earlier this season, it is going to be a great challenge. And we're going to have a great week of preparation and bring our play our best game as a team.
That game kicks off at noon on Fox, then Kansas City hosts Buffalo at 3:30 on CBS. The Chargers have a new head coach, hiring Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. Staley's defense was top-ranked in the NFL this season. Longtime Sounders Vice President Chris Henderson is headed to Miami for another executive position for that MLS team. Henderson was the first hire for Sounders owner Adrian Hanauer and helped the team from scouting to player development over the past 12 years. There's no Fan Fest or Winter Caravan this year due to COVID restrictions, but the Mariners today begin what they call their virtual baseball bash. It includes current and former players, coaches, and broadcasters on a variety of social media platforms. You can get information at mariners.com. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Heintz, Como News.
Como News Time 11:11, and traffic and weather just a couple of moments away. America crossing a once unimaginably grim milestone. More than 400,000 people have lost their lives to COVID-19. An NBC News tally shows the nation hit that mark early this morning, just short of a full year since the first case was confirmed in the Seattle area.
More than 166,000 of those Americans have lost their lives since the November election. In this video from the Philadelphia Inquirer, St. Peter's Episcopal Church rang their bell 400 times on Sunday, once for every 1,000 deaths. The ringing lasted more than 30 minutes. Public health officials are now warning that the so-called dark winter isn't over yet. Incoming CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said that she fears that this country could hit 500,000 dead from the coronavirus by the middle of next month. In California, Cedars-Sinai Hospital is now reporting that over one-third of Los Angeles patients are carrying a new strain of the virus, which may explain the recent surge in cases across Southern California. And people across the country keep dying. Albert and Carol Stevenson from Kansas loved each other fiercely and died at the same hospital less than 2 hours apart. They both got sick at the end of December and were holding hands in one of their last moments together.
The pillar of our family has been taken away from us, and it's very crushing. None of us feel like we have closure yet.
A new ABC News Washington Post poll shows that 9 out of 10 Americans believe that the pandemic is not under control. But when asked if they would probably or definitely get the vaccine, only about 65% said they would.
ABC's Steve Olson saw me the COVID lockdown grinding on the United Kingdom as well.
Currently, around 38,000 COVID patients are in UK hospitals. As Health Secretary Matt Hancock says,
that is the highest that it's been throughout the pandemic. And someone is admitted to hospital every 30 seconds.
Per capita, the UK has the highest COVID death rate in the world. And because of that, any lockdown easing looks right now like a distant dream. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
A panel of experts commissioned by the World Health Organization criticizing China and other countries for not moving to stem the initial outbreak of the coronavirus earlier.
In a report on Monday, the panel says there were lost opportunities to apply basic public health measures at the earliest opportunity, and that Chinese authorities could have applied their efforts more forcefully in January, shortly after the coronavirus began sickening clusters of people. The panel writes, the reality is that only a minority of countries took full advantage of the information available to them to respond to the evidence of an emerging pandemic. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
After we check traffic and weather, looking at the final hours of the Trump presidency. Right now, looking at traffic, as we do every 10 minutes on the fours for the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Once again, Kiara Jordan.
Oh, good news. It looks like our backups that we were finding on northbound I-5 in Pierce County and the Lakewood area approaching State Route 512, those have now cleared out. They were doing some emergency road work, and it was just taking a while to see our backups disappear, but they are now gone. And so we're seeing good travel times going from Olympia to Tacoma. That's going to take you about 30 minutes. Federal Way into downtown Seattle, 22 minutes. Linwood to Bellevue, that's been about a 16-minute drive. We do still have the full closure of Issaquah-Hobart Road between May Valley Road and Cedar Grove due to a power pole that's come down, so you'll be unable to travel through there. Our next Como traffic at 11:24.
The clouds that have been with us all morning long are going to burn away, and we're going to get a partly sunny afternoon. I'm convinced of it. And then we'll have about 48 for the high. Overnight, it's going to be very chilly again. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Don't really look for that sunshine chance. But we do have not really a chance of rain tomorrow. A slight chance of showers on Thursday. And then mostly sunny Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with also some clouds and some shower possibilities each day. Right now in Everett, fog hangs on, 36 degrees, 39 and partly sunny in Tacoma. And at SeaTac Airport, still got fog, 38 degrees at 11:15.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
We've got Taylor Van Sise and Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Hutler, and we're following these stories right now. President-elect Joe Biden preparing to leave his home state of Delaware to head to Washington, D.C. for tomorrow's inauguration. He called it an emotional day for him during a departure ceremony in Wilmington, noting dark times in America, but also saying there is always light. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell making clear his opinion on who is at fault for the Capitol riot. The Kentucky Republican blasting President Trump and other people with power for feeding lies to those who attacked the Capitol. McConnell believes Trump tried to use fear and violence to upend the formal electoral vote count because he didn't like that Biden won the election. And in one of his final acts as president, Donald Trump ordering that international travel restrictions be lifted.
The move would allow most non-U.S. citizens traveling from Brazil, the U.K., Ireland, and much of Europe to enter the country starting next week. The president saying all international visitors will require a negative COVID test instead. But in a sign of what's to come, the incoming Biden administration says the order will be reversed before it even takes effect. The soon-to-be press secretary tweeting, "This is not the time to be lifting restrictions on international travel." Now, in his final full day in the White House, President Trump focused on who will benefit from his pardon powers. After considering pardons for himself and his children in the face of possible criminal investigations, sources tell ABC News that is now unlikely, though he is expected to issue a flurry of pardons for others, over 100 names, including rapper and Trump supporter Lil Wayne. Not on the list, his personal attorney Rudy Giuliani, who tells ABC News he's not getting one, quote, "I don't want one." While the president hasn't been seen in public in a week, First Lady Melania Trump did make an appearance.
"The past 4 years have been unforgettable."
In this farewell video released by the White House.
"Do not lose sight of your integrity and values. Use every opportunity to show consideration for another person and build good habits into our daily lives."
But the First Lady, who championed kindness as part of her Be Best campaign, has yet to reach out to soon-to-be First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. The traditional White House tour Melania Trump received from Michelle Obama and extended by countless others before that, not happening this year. Both Trumps skipping the swearing-in altogether. Instead, they're leaving town early tomorrow morning. The president getting the Joint Base Andrews send-off he wanted, a military band and a red carpet, with troops standing by as he boards Air Force One for the last time and heads to his new home in Florida.
ABC's Cecilia Vega. Security continues to get tighter in Washington, D.C. ahead of the inauguration tomorrow.
All major bridges entering the nation's capital shut down this morning. Thousands of federal agents and police focusing on security, with 21,500 National Guard now on duty.
"Now is not the time to come into our jurisdiction to create havoc."
Fencing with razor wire, barricades and checkpoints everywhere, restrictions on drones, helicopters patrolling the skies, and police boats scouring the Potomac River. The security measures coming as ABC News has obtained a new law enforcement bulletin raising the specter that right-wing extremists like QAnon and lone wolf attackers might try to pose as law enforcement and military to infiltrate security. All this as the FBI targets nearly 300 suspects who stormed the Capitol. coming through 200,000 videos and photographs, much of it tips from the public.
The American people have demonstrated that they will not allow mob violence to go unanswered.
100 arrested and counting, with disturbing new cases, more and more suspects in custody. On Monday, Riley June Williams taken into custody in Pennsylvania. The FBI investigating whether she stole a laptop from Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office with the intention of selling it to Russians. Also arrested, an Army reservist described by naval investigators in the criminal complaint as an avowed white supremacist and Nazi sympathizer. D.C. police officer Michael Fanone, who told ABC News a harrowing story about being beaten and hit with flags, fearing for his life.
You know, while I was getting tased, they were stripping my gear off of, off my vest. They stripped my badge off, my radio. At one point, people started chanting, kill him with his own gun.
Officials in state capitals across the country to remain vigilant.
That's ABC's Pierre Thomas. Come on, News Time 1120. It's the Propel Insurance Business Update with your money news at 20 and 50 past each hour. And here's the latest on Your Money Now with Jennifer Koshinka.
DuckDuckGo, a search engine focused on privacy, increased its average number of daily searches by 62% in 2020 as users seek alternatives to impede data tracking. The search engine, founded in 2008, operated nearly 23.7 billion search queries on its platform last year. On January 11th, DuckDuckGo reached its highest number of search queries in one day. DuckDuckGo does not track user searches or share personal data with third-party companies. What's a Super Bowl without Coke and Pepsi? We're about to find out. Both brands have announced they will not be running any commercials on their namesake sodas during the big game. PepsiCo says it will focus on its sponsorship of the halftime show. Coca-Cola says it won't run any commercials, noting it wants to invest in the right resources during these unprecedented times. That's Your Money Now.
All right, we're still up across the board on Wall Street with the Dow, a gain of 161 points to 30,975. The NASDAQ is up 1.5%, 194.25 for the day to 13,193. And the S&P 500 is up close to a percentage point, 34.5 to 3802. That's your Propel Insurance Business Update. Como News Time 1121.
Information is power. Everything you need to know before you get to work. The Como Morning News with Greg Hirschold and Manda Factor on Como News 1000, FM 97.7 and comonews.com.